This is Ned Ryan, President of American Majority, and welcome to Power to the People, Episode 5. I want to start with a little theory about most elected officials that will be helpful to you as an activist in understanding how many think and operate, and what influences changes in their behavior. Most are motivated by, and are experts in, self-preservation. They have won elected office and would like to stay there, so anything that might endanger their staying in office, they will react to. It's much like Pavlov's dog and its responding to the ringing of the bell. Most officials will react to action that threatens or may threaten their existence in office. What you as an activist need to understand is that basic mentality of self-preservation and try to understand what will ring the bell for most elected officials that will cause them to respond to your concerns and respond in positive ways. What I'm going to talk about in this podcast would be considered more traditional grassroots activism in regards to keeping elected officials accountable. First, elected officials need to be aware that they are being watched and that they're not living in a vacuum. So it's your responsibility to know how they are voting and where they're getting their political funds from, just for starters. So it will require a little homework on your part to track an elected official's voting record, but it can be done. Some groups out there, like the American Conservative Union or Club for Growth or National Right to Life, Family Research Council, and others, will track how officials are voting in the federal Congress. At the state level, you can go to the legislature's website or, depending on the state, sites like Mackinac Center for Public Policy's MichiganVotes.org lays out a description of every vote cast by members of the Michigan State Legislature since 2001. I would suggest seeing if you can find a similar site in your state. If your elected officials' votes are not aligning with what you believe is right, such as limited government principles or fiscal responsibility, it's your responsibility to keep him or her accountable. There are a variety of ways to do it, and most you're probably familiar with, but I want to provide a few insights into how you can be an even more effective activist in your lobbying. First, let's talk about letter writing. Now, I know some organizations have their pre-printed postcards that they want their members to sign and send in, and those are fine, but they're not nearly as effective as a letter written by you. I look at it this way. The more time you put into something, the more it shows that you actually care. Signing a pre-printed postcard is fine, but it's more effective to write a personal letter and send it in. It shows that you truly care. I always tell people when writing a letter to an elected official to keep it short and sweet. Remember that it will likely be a staffer reading the letter. The elected official will read some, but not the majority, of letters coming into his or her office. First, you need to identify yourself as a constituent of the officials. Why? Because if you're not, it means very little to the official because you are not a vote in his or her district. If you can't vote, then why should he or she care? That might sound a bit crass, but if you don't think that's how it works, think again. So make sure you identify yourself as a constituent, as a voter, at the very beginning of the letter, and then get to your point quickly. For example, I am writing concerning such and such an issue. I'm either for or against it. Share a few lines as to how you feel, ask for a response, and then sign off. Now, some people have done creative things to make their letter stick out. I know with the tea parties, many sent in tea bags to their elected officials to highlight the tea parties and their theme of fiscal responsibility. Others have taped pennies to their letters. I remember an elected official telling me at one point an organization had pulled together a letter-writing campaign telling their members to tape a penny to the letters, and the elected official got a big glass jar and with every letter threw in the penny. He said the jar filled up very quickly. The good thing is that he was right on the issue being addressed. But a last point on letter writing, or any lobbying of your elected official. Please remember when writing a letter, or calling or emailing your official, that you have a reasonable tone, a polite tone, even if you strongly disagree with the official on the issue. It will do you little good to be rude. Second, let's talk about phone calling. Did you know that on average, for every live phone call made to an elected official's office, they think that there are 15 others who feel the same way that did not make a call? That's because the majority of people will not pick up the phone and call their elected officials. So think about it this way. You are empowered 15 times when you make a live phone call to an elected official's office. That's pretty cool. So what if you got 30 or 40 people to call on the same day on the same topic? What if you had 100? Remember, most officials are experts in self-preservation, so you have to ring their bell by showing that many of their constituents are unhappy. And if they remain unhappy, they will be voting against that politician in the next election. The only way to encourage positive behavior in your elected officials is to demand it, and to be constantly aware and communicating with him or her. Third, think about emailing your elected official. I had a conversation recently with a younger member of a state legislature who said that he would answer most, if not all, the emails sent to his office. But he also said only if those emails are from constituents. Remember that in your lobbying of your elected official, you need to keep your lobbying to someone who you can vote for, whether it's a school board member or your member of the U.S. House. But take advantage of email and get your like-minded friends to send in emails on the same subject on the same day. Fourth, think about writing a letter to the editor. Most letters to the editor are limited to 300 words, and the one issue with letters to the editor is the simple fact that an editor can edit your letter. If you've ever written a letter to the editor and thought, that was a great letter, made all my points, and then you open the newspaper to find that the letter has been edited almost beyond recognition, well, you're not alone on that front. But it is worth writing letters to the editor on an issue and highlighting where your official stands on it. Here's a thought to consider when doing any and all of your lobbying of an elected official. It's good to raise a stink when something goes wrong. But think about calling or emailing or writing when the official does something right. Encourage good behavior. When he or she makes a good vote, maybe a tough vote, tell him or her to keep up the good work. Finally, in-person visits to an official's office are very effective as well. Odds are that you won't actually sit with the elected official if it's a higher level office, but you will sit with a staffer. Come well prepared on the issue you'll be discussing and the history of the official on that issue. Always be polite, never threatening or rude. Work on developing relationships with the elected official's staff, even if you disagree with them. Now, I know this is not an exhaustive list of ideas, but it's just a few ideas that I think will help you become a better activist and more effective in helping keep your elected officials accountable.